Talking about mind control, time travel, ETs, alien reverse technology, abduction, all that with Preston B. Nichols and the Montauk experiments, as well as some of the other things he's been involved in. In fact, this next hour, we're going to find out what he's been working on lately, and we're going to ask him the proof that he has behind there. That's a lot of people have those phone calls coming in. And speaking of that, a lot of phone calls coming in. So we're going to take your phone calls as well. And I'm hoping that we might hear from a few super soldiers out there, those that call yourself a super soldier, possibly a Montauk boy. All that coming up here on Coast to Coast AM. Hope you've had a happy Valentine's Day or night, and it's still going on for you. Connie Willis here on Coast to Coast AM with Preston B. Nichols, talking about the Montauk experiments as well as some other things that he's gone through along the way. One question before we talk about Preston, what you're doing now is going back to Montauk. Is there any proof whatsoever for any of the stuff that you've talked about?
No, this is one of the best covered up secret projects I've ever seen. There's literally nothing in print out there from the government. The government acknowledges none of it. All we can prove is that there was a project done out of Montauk Point on the old Montauk radar base after the base was officially closed in 1969. The claim from a lot of documents we picked off the floor out there is it was the old radar was fired up and used by the FAA. And I check, I know people, I knew people that work in the FAA traffic center in Ronkonkoma, Long Island, and I asked them, they never saw a radar scope centered at Montauk Point, which means it wasn't being run for that. All we can prove is there was something strange going on.
You got that right. And then you had Al and Duncan and Stewart, all of you got together, talked about these things, and started collaborating and realizing something happened. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And also with Peter Moon, since we've written the books, Pete and myself, we've had quite a few people come forward with soft information, you know, basically witness that something took place and that we're basically on the money, you know, as far as it goes.
Mm. Well, I'm not trying to be too personal for any other reason except what I'd like to ask you next, and that is, how old are you right now?
68.
How is your anti-aging work doing?
It's come along. People are in general agreement, if you've looked at my later tapes, that I don't look 68. At times I feel 68, and at times I don't.
I got to tell you, I think from looking at your earlier ones to now, I think you look very different.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like it could be your brother or someone else. You look different.
Mm-hmm.
Is that from your work? And what is your work with the anti-aging?
Well, basically, through my work with the Montauk Boys, I developed a way to basically follow along with them on the mental plane as they went down into their mind to get down deep and remove all the buried trauma. And we actually, quite a few times, made it into the soul consciousness and encountered a frequency pattern which represents our DNA in perfect form. The theory I'm working with, I'm trying to do, is to surface this pattern into the conscious mind, put the body and mind into some state where each cell, the genome, opens, and we can superimpose this pattern over to basically correct the distortions in the DNA. So each time the cell divides and the DNA duplicates, it puts errors in. It's like making a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. Eventually, you don't recognize the original picture.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
So this is one of the reasons, besides the glowing orb 50 years ago that I observed, that I've been trying to figure out what that is. This is one of the reasons I use the orgasmic research, because I know that gives us direct access to this frequency pattern. Hopefully, as I work with it more, I can come up with ways that are less of a taboo to access this thing and use it.
Are you getting volunteers for that?
It's difficult, but yeah, I do get some volunteers for it.
I would imagine. Is that the work you're doing right now? What other things are you doing right now?
Well, the other part is music. Being a audio person, I've always been very interested in music. And I realized music is frequency patterns. The medical profession definitely acknowledges the healing aspect, the adjunct to their healing that music represents. And I'm researching different ways to use sound to achieve different areas of consciousness in the mind and, stuff like that. Of course, there are certain things I can't say about it. You don't dare say it's healing anything, or else you'll end up in jail.
Yeah, this is true.
But this is the thrust of my work. Over the years, with my studying quantum electrodynamics, I've been able to model exactly what goes on in a vacuum tube. I'm sure you've heard from audio people and music people that tubes sound better. Yes, they do. There's a definite reason for it. I've taken that aspect of vacuum tube audio equipment, optimized it, so literally it produces three-dimensional sound, and it produces sound that penetrates directly into the mind, and we can set up multiple paths to the listener, from the listener, back to the amplifiers, and build up the power of the mind with that also.
Is this to, does this open up abilities as well, make them stronger?
It can. I think at this point, I'm not giving out phone number right now, but I'll give you my mailing address. Well, I will say, anyone mails me something, send me your phone number, what you want to talk about. I'll at least look at it and read it, and if it's something I can do, I'll call you back. The address is P.O. Box 1313, Cairo, New York, like Cairo, Egypt, 12413, and you're welcome to put that on your website.
Yeah, I think that would be a great thing for our producer to go ahead and do that so that we can see that up on the website for later so people can go to that for sure. Is this also a means of time travel through your mind?
Oh, yeah. When I meditate on a piece of music, I can go right back to the original recording session. I can go back to when the composer was composing the music. So, yes, it is mental time travel. It can be.
When you, you're reminding me right now of like remote viewing, and when you remote view, a lot of the viewers can bilocate where, like their spirit or soul goes there, and they feel everything, see everything, touch everything, smell everything, yet their bodies are still laying there. Are you talking something similar to that?
Yeah, something similar. We've done that too.
How is yours different from that?
I'm basically using the music, the recording, as a witness function, a witness to form a bridge from present to wherever it goes, wherever the bridge takes you. Like in the case of my following, it takes you right to the being at the center of the galaxy.
Oh, so each tune would send you to a different place. It's not your choice, it's where the tune takes you.
At times, or you can use the energy of the tune to travel where you want to go, but that's quite advanced.
Okay, and once.
You gotta get a lot of practice to be able to accomplish that.
I can see that. Well, once you make the pathway with that sound, is that always the pathway?
No, you can change it.
Oh.
I've changed it myself. See, we don't do musical healing. We do musical meditations with a very specialized, highly advanced sound system that literally puts you into music.
I can actually relate to what you're saying. I can understand what you're saying about that, how that would even feel. And maybe that's because I've seen some of your videos, but.
And I also run meditation sessions if people want to come up here and meditate with the equipment.
And is that also what you're using for anybody that is a possible Montauk boy where you are?
Yeah, we've had some success with using music to deprogram.
Well, that's great. I mean,
Also, I notice what happens as the connection with Montauk boys, as the guy lays there, when he connects into the equipment, I can sample it and look for the signatures.
And how do you do that?
Well, as I explained before, being that the two forms what I call a quantum well, which is like a quantum singularities between grid two, grid three, and the plate of the vacuum tube. It crosses the two energies, crossing all the parallel realities that is contingent to our reality. Now, in some of those realities, like in this reality, the signal flow is from the recording through the amplifier to the speaker. In some of the other parallels, it's exactly reversed. It's from the listener to the speaker to the amplifier back to the recording again. And of course, the very specialized DSP helps a lot that I developed that makes CDs sound like analog tapes.
Well, that's what you need to put on the market so we can listen to that.
No, we can't put it on the market. The government nationalized the patent.
Interesting.
And we can't release it.
And what would that do if we listened to it?
Well, it would give you a signal source that probably everything points to that it's as complete as the analog tape is. And more complete than an analog phonograph record. You know, I've had the knowledge and the impetus to develop all this because of my experience in the recording business.
Well, it leads me to a question I've been wanting to ask you is, do you believe that we are in a virtual reality?
Oh, yeah.
Explain
Definitely.
that, and then we want to take some phone calls for you.
Well, basically, the Big Bang, I believe the Big Bang is when God turned on the computer for the artificial reality that we live in. There's been work done, expressed by a friend of mine, Mitch, and a few others, the TV show called Through the Vortex. And they had a whole series where they went through, like, we have a quantum framing, we have a quantum rate, which is the framing of our reality, and we have the background noise appears to be an abrupt start of some function. It's been suggested that the Big Bang is when the projector, like the Star Trek hologram projector, was turned on. I don't recall all the evidence right now, but if you can locate that, that TV show, that's on the Science Channel, Learning Channel. It's there, and the discussions are pretty complete, and it all holds together.
Okay, well, we're going to be hitting the phone calls because we have a bazillion people calling in. They all want to talk to you, Preston.
All I'll say is I do have sessions. People come up, and all I ask is you donate what you can.
Excellent.
Or what
Excellent.
You think it's worth.
And we will post that.
Again, write me at the address.
Right.
Say what you want to do, and if it's something I can get into with you, I'll call you back. I'll guarantee I at least read it. So let's go to the phone lines.
Excellent. We'll post that for you, too. Let's go to the wild card line one, Ellen from New Hampshire. Hi there, Ellen. Do you have a question for Preston?
Yes, thank you for taking my phone call.
Sure.
I have a few things. You spoke about the 2020 looking ahead. Kind of a comic question. I have read where you talk about the good and the bad in a possible shift, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have read where we were supposed to go into a spiritual shift, like going to the fourth and fifth dimension, and there are ones that are too negative that will stay in the third. And I've also read, I don't know if this coincides, where there's going to be two Earths. In fact, the ones that do move on probably won't even realize it. They'll just notice that things will improve greatly. Then the other ones will continue on with all the chaos that's going on in the world. Okay, with that said, I've read that. I also have a question about the positive ETs. Do we have allies that are looking out for us? Are they getting involved? I mean, is there any way we can contact them? Or can they be trusted? And one last thing, I've also read where these grays, with all the experimentation they've been doing, it leads up to us as humans being breeded out. And that's all I have.
Great. Thank you, Ellen. Preston?
I don't know what to say to all that.
Yeah.
Well, what you're talking of is, I guess you consider it, if you're going to go biblical, you consider it the final judgment, where some God force will judge you and say that you're a good person, you go to the new earth in the new reality we're making. Or no, you're bad, so you'll stay. This I've been told by Tabor, or the galaxy being, as I call him. And this is going to happen somewhere in the mid-2020s.
And quickly before our break comes up, what about the other two things she asked? Do you believe we have any allies? ET allies?
Well, all the from what I've been able to find out, the good ETs seem to have a non-interference directive that they want us to develop naturally so they don't interfere. I like to say my consciousness being from the Pleiades, I can interfere because this body was born here. But overall, the Pleiadian Alliance is not allowed to interfere with a developing planet, just like the non-interference directive on Star Trek.
Understood. Preston B. Nichols, we are talking to him here on Coast to Coast AM. We have just another segment to go here, and we are taking your calls, learning what he's doing now and what he has been doing. So please give us a call and ask what you want. Love to have a super soldier call in. Thanks for listening. Happy Valentine's Day here on Coast to Coast AM. And you got all the phone numbers. We are taking your calls with the last segment here with Preston B. Nichols and talking about Montauk as well as all the things he's talking about today, anti-aging music to meditate to, and all kinds of good stuff. Tabor, God. Final segment with Preston B. Nichols. If you want to get your question in, now is the time to call on Coast to Coast AM. With over 600 radio stations across North America and beyond, it's Coast to Coast AM. Where else can you talk freely about such things as we are tonight? Our final segment with Preston B. Nichols and your phone calls coming in. Lots of great questions. Preston, before we leave here, we want to get your post office address. Go ahead and do that one more time before we take the phone calls, just so we won't miss that.
All right. It's P.O. Box 13, Cairo, like Cairo, Egypt, C-A-I-R-O, New York, 12413. And there's another thing we can add here. If you want to understand energy, consider thermodynamics. We have absolute zero where all activity stops. Is there an absolute maximum temperature you can go to? You understand this, you'll understand more of the unified energies.
What's your answer to that?
I don't know. I've been researching it. I have a number of theories.
Well, you got to keep us up to date on that. Give us one.
One is that when the temperature reaches the, the galactic boundaries, it goes up to whatever's limited by the boundary conditions on the galaxy. That's one.
Okay, how about a second one?
Second one, there's only just so many quantum clicks between the minimum and the maximum. What we got to understand is the actual mechanics of it, which I don't to this day. I can't even tell you why all motion stops at absolute zero.
And that's definitely your field that you have studied for a long time. But I love that you continue to move forward on this. And a lot of people wanting to ask you more about some of the things you're doing. In fact, we have Wayne on Wild Card Line 1 out of Michigan. Wayne, I know you know Preston a little bit with something that you have. Go ahead and ask your question to Preston.
Oh, well, hello, Preston. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm fine.
Yeah, I was wondering about age reduction technology.
About what technology?
Age reduction technology. I have a DVD. It has Mr. Bielik on it and Duncan. And it talks about ART. Do you know anything about that? And I'll take my answer off air.
Thank you, Wayne. So Preston, what he's talking about is the ART, age reduction technology.
ART stands for aircraft radio transmitter.
And he, so his question is about age reduction technology. He says he has a DVD with Al on it and Cameron.
I guess it's possible. Al talks of being age reduced back to a baby.
So you don't know much about that?
No, that I don't know much about.
Okay, and I know you. You are like, look, if I know about it, I'll talk about it. If I don't, I won't. And we appreciate that. Well, let's go to wild card line number one. Oh, I'm sorry, that's one we just were at. He's on there twice. Let's see. Let's go to... Oh, my gosh, there's so many. Let's go to Helen, wildcard line number two. Hi there, Helen from California. What's your question?
Hello. Yes, I was hoping to try to be a volunteer of some type along the coast to coast for Mr. Preston Nichols. I'm a person who had a near-death experience, but I was born in 1968 in California, and my parents have been kind of, I guess, targeted by ETs when in their sleep, and have been floated out of their house, unbeknownst to them. And my mother has been doing this since a child, and so all of us children that she had have been doing this since children. Alf and I wake up on the floor, and when my brother and I were separated as children, I slept on the top bunk and woke up on the floor, and often will wake up in the middle of the night in conversation. And I don't usually talk in my sleep. And several psychologists you know, have labeled this as various things, but I've had a near-death experience, and I have time-traveled forward and back in time, and have visited the other side and heaven during this time, and also the ETs were involved in this, so I don't know if it was an induced near-death experience or it was a natural one, and I've never been on any kind of drugs other than medical marijuana, and so, and I was not on alcohol or any other kind of thing at the time. So I'm wondering if there is a way to connect up with you and leave my number with somebody at Coast to Coast.
Okay. Well, Helen,
to, you know, find out what is going on there. But I have had some other capabilities since then and other dimensions. I'm fighting and doing things and or participating in things. Wake up very tired. And use music and meditation also to connect.
Excellent to hear that. Hey, Helen, go ahead and get the address from Tricia, who's answered your phone call. So you'll definitely have that, so you can go ahead and write Preston on there. And Preston, when somebody calls like that, what are you looking for as a candidate of people that you do want to see?
Basically, person with interest that will dovetail with what I'm doing.
Did any of what she was asking you about and telling you about, is any of that work for, does that make a difference, or would that even matter?
I don't know, because she rattled off so much. I got lost.
She did have a lot going on there.
I would write it all up, what you said, with a phone number, send it out to my P.O. box, and if I feel I can relate to it, I'll give you a call.
Excellent. I'm sure that Helen heard that, and I appreciate your call, Helen. We've got another call. We've got on the, man, there's so many, I don't ever know what to choose here for you. West of the Rockies, Jerry, Las Vegas. Jerry, are you still with us?
Hello.
Hello.
Can you? Yeah, this Preston?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, now I watched that History Channel, Ancient Aliens, and they've had some people on there that have been abducted, and they said that they were like being confronted by the little grays, and another entity walked in that resembled a praying mantis. And he seemed to be in control, or it seemed to be in control. And I was wondering if you had run into any entity like that.
Thank you, Jerry. Go ahead, Preston, and answer that one for us. That's pretty interesting, the praying mantis alien that everyone talks about.
I haven't run into them myself, so I really can't comment on it. All I can say is what you all probably have heard as well.
Yeah, so you've run into the reptilian and the small grays. Any other ones?
Yeah, the Pleiadians, the human-looking Pleiadians.
Okay. Is there anything different about them, the way they look, anything at all? They just look like us.
They look alike, and they look like us.
Okay. Nothing different with the eyes or the skin?
No, not really.
Okay. We've got Joe from Wisconsin on wild card line number 3 with a question. Hey there, Joe. What's your question for Preston?
Okay.
That was nice. I guess that was it for Joe.
I guess that was Joe's comment.
That was Joe's comment. Well, you have certainly told us a whole lot of different things today for this evening, for a lot of us, and this morning, wherever you are right now, to definitely think about, talking about Montauk and the Philadelphia experiment, talking about Tabor. That is, I guess, one more question for me to ask is, when you talk about Tabor and you talk about that being God, did you see Tabor or just hear Tabor? And what does it look like, feel like? What do you think? Is it God? Is it a computer? What do you see?
Well, I'll tell you, it sounds like a computer.
Kind of like the Google of the universe, huh?
I don't know whether this is actually God the Creator or not. I don't know. Or what I'll call it is a God-like figure. It's definitely a God-like figure of some sort.
But you ask it questions, and it gives you straight-out answers. Can you give an example of that?
Well, when I was having trouble with an amplifier, I asked it, which network is the bad resistor in. And he told me exactly where to look in the chassis.
So you're going with technical questions here.
Yeah.
I love it.
A lot of technical questions. A friend of mine is having legal troubles, and I've been asking questions for him, and it seems to help.
Do you ask it any of the bigger...
Whoever this critter is, it doesn't tell me to do anything. Like the pastor at the church said, this thing asked you to kill him, would you do it? I said, hell no. No way would I do it. It has never told me or asked me to do anything that goes against my own ethics.
And that sounds about right to do. I could see that.
That's why I call it a God-like being. It's definitely a being. He tells me that he'll appear to me in my mind any way I want. He appears as an old man. And yeah, I see things. He projects pictures at me, scenarios like movies. He uses whatever he has to use to get the point across.
And everything that you've gotten has been 100% correct?
So far that I can check.
Can't beat that. First time caller on the line, Erskine, Las Vegas, Nevada. Hi there. What's your question for Preston? I hope I said your name right. Erskine.
Yes, you did. Hello, Connie, and hi, Preston.
Hi there.
Valentine's. Yeah, I had an experience a few years ago where I would drive at like 4:30 in the morning, maybe around about that time, and I was wondering if I travel back in time. Every time we would drive this little town, I would see people, old baby carriages, pushing old baby carriages, and I would see people jogging and things like that. But then you focus on, then they kind of disappear. And I had my partner, he's seen it as well, and it scared the mess out of him, but he even changed his shift that night. I was wondering if that's possible to travel back in time, or is this something that I'm pretty much just hallucinating, or have you ever heard anything about that?
Thank you, Erskine. What do you think, Preston?
Well, if another person saw the same thing with him, then he's probably not hallucinating.
That's true. That's a way to look at it.
And it is possible, since the mind of man crosses many parallel realities, it is possible to mentally travel. I do it all the time.
Do you do that just naturally now from doing it for so long and, meditating so much?
Mm-hmm.
You can just do it like you're walking, you're going to the grocery, and you can just pop in and out kind of thing?
Well, an example would be we have in my field what's called FamFest, which is flea markets for electronics and amateur radio. And the night before, I would literally travel there and walk through it. And when I get there, it was right on the money. I knew right away what I was going to buy when I got there.
So wow.
It's definitely very doable. And this was before I have the mechanisms I have now to do it with.
If people come to see you, can you also train them to have better abilities and to do what you're talking about?
Yeah, I do know ways of how to train people for paranormal abilities, paranormal activities. this is one of the things I've done through the years, train Excellent. Different people.
Yeah. Excellent. One. Let's go ahead and grab one last call here before we have to go. Wildcard line 5, Amber, San Antonio, Texas. You've been waiting a long time. Amber, what's your question for Preston?
Okay. I was watching something a couple months ago. Some lady by the name of Arizona Wilder was talking about these little grays. I don't know if you've heard of Arizona Wilder, but she says these little, she says,
go ahead with the question,
Anyway, she said these little grays were, you know, either they're the same thing, but I'm not sure, but she said that some of these little grays at least were these beings called cybers that were telepathic. They make sounds like dolphins, but they look extraterrestrial.
And is your question to see if he believes that's the case?
Yeah, if he's ever heard that or seen that to be true or anything like that.
Great. Thank you, Amber. So, Preston, you've heard of Arizona Wilder.
Yeah, she was quite sweet. And it's quite similar to what I run into with the Wingmakers from the future.
And what's that like?
Their hierarchy seems to be a being which is a cross between a human being and some sort of a dolphin.
Okay. Oh, it does sound like what she's talking about.
In this society, they have literally every kind of living, every style of living that you could select. You want to be dominated, you could select that style of living. You want to live totally free, you live out in the woods.
And if you want to learn more about Preston B. Nichols, you go to our website and you can find out more and even how to work with him. Preston, thank you very much for being a part of the show. It was wonderful, fascinating, interesting. What an honor. From the 840 WHAS studios of iHeartMedia in Louisville, Kentucky, I'm Connie Willis with a big shout out to Julie Talbot, Bill May, Bill Gentry, Kelly Carls, Kirk Wesley, Dan Galante, Tim Banal, Lex Lonehood, Trisha Pepe, thank you very much. Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Sean LaDesur, Brian Opry, Tom Dan Heiser, Nathan Staten, George Knapp, Lisa Lyon, and George Norrie. Thank you to our guests, Christopher Garantano with his award-winning documentary Montauk Chronicles and Preston Nichols with his fascinating encounters at Montauk. Hey, until next time, keep looking to the skies. Beware of creepy creatures. In your basement, because they're there, and hairy monsters looking behind the bushes. Until next time, keep looking up to the skies. I'm Connie Willis saying so long. Have a safe and happy rest of the day. Good morning, good night from Coast to Coast AM.